We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the Buffs Insider, our weekly podcast here at CUBuffs.com and the University of Colorado, along with Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. As this is coming out on a Friday morning, tonight at 7 o'clock, under the lights, not open to the public, by the way. It is a closed scrimmage. The Buffaloes, 2 weeks out from the season opener against Colorado State, will be under the lights at Folsom for a scrimmage tonight. Here we are. We're a little over halfway through camp, Neil. Give us an assessment. Give me something that stands out to you after a couple of weeks of you and I standing out in the hot sunshine and staring at three practice fields.
I guess the thing that stands out, Mark, is a lot of young guys, a lot of newcomers competing for positions, probably going to win some positions, and just the overall quality of the depth of this team. And I think since I've been here for the last 3 years, this is probably the deepest team that I have covered, and this will be the fourth Mike McIntyre team that I've covered, and it's by far the deepest team and the most talent top to bottom that I've seen.
You know, one of the things I think that struck me is the leadership characteristic of this team, and I guess what I'm getting to, 2 years ago we know how great the leadership was on that team. Seth Olufau kind of set the tone for that team. There were other guys certainly around him, but he really set the tone, I thought. They went out and had a phenomenal season. Last year was Philip Lindsay who set the tone. I don't know if there's a dynamic leader like those two guys, but then again, I don't think you see that very often in college sports, a guy of that magnitude. But I wonder overall if there's not better leadership spread overall throughout this roster.
I would agree with that. I don't think there's one guy that they all turn and look to and say, hey, that's the king daddy right there. That's the guy that we're all following. I don't think there's one guy like that. But I think there are a lot of players at a lot of positions that are setting the tone, whether it's an Aaron Hagler on the offensive line, whether it's a Rick Gamboa on defense. Even the wide receivers, Juwan Winfrey is out there doing stuff every day, Kabion Ento, Jay McIntyre. And if you look at the team captains, Alex Kinney on special teams, but there are a lot of guys that are setting the tone, and it's a very businesslike attitude. But I think it's like you said, I think there's a much better chemistry than probably we saw a year ago.
Winfrey is interesting to me because it's, you know, a lot of the times after a practice, we'll do a little stand-up that runs on social media with guys. He frequently comes up as a guy that players pointed to in the offseason? He obviously made an impact, more so than just his physical presence out there. It was more that leadership, the organizer of getting the wide receivers and the quarterbacks together. He's really maybe kind of risen to the top from kind of my assessment.
Yeah, just a tremendous work ethic. And this is a guy that was coming back from a terrible knee injury two camps ago. Came back last year, played some, was never quite 100%, maybe till even the end of the season. Had a very good spring. And, yeah, he's the guy that just worked his tail off all spring long, all summer long. And I think players see that and they latch on to it. They want to be that guy too. They kind of follow whoever's setting that tone. And Juwan was definitely a guy that set that tone. Again, Aaron Hagler, a guy like that. Josh Kaiser, a guy like that. So I think you see this team is it the 2016 team? I'm in no way going to say this team is going to go out and win 10 games. And when I say this team might be more talented, I'm talking about top to bottom. But I'm not sure they have that senior leadership that they had that year when you had the Tedrick Thompson, Cheetah Bayouzie, all those guys that were playing at a high level and just refusing to lose. But this is a talented team. The chemistry is good. A lot of young guys, a lot of newcomers, but so far in camp, I really think this team has had a good camp and played well.
Well, let's be honest about it, too. The great Jim Tressel, one time I was doing an interview with him, and I asked about some of the great teams he had when he was at Youngstown at Ohio State, and he said, let me tell you something. He said, my best teams didn't necessarily win the most games or the championships, because he said, Mark, most important in the sport, nobody wants to talk about it, because as football coaches, all we want to talk about is preparation, attention to detail. He said, you got to have talent, got to have attention to detail, you got to be real lucky. That 2016 team had some great luck that season. That's take nothing away from them. It's part of what makes good teams and part of the mystique of why some teams are good and some teams aren't. Let's play an interesting game here. I'm going to throw a couple of things at you, just get your response. Offensively, are the Buffs better this season, do you think, as you look at your crystal ball, than they were a year ago?
Definitely. I think they're definitely better, even though they've got a younger offensive line. Last year they had a veteran offensive line. They had veteran wide receivers last year, and I think everybody expected them, including me. I expected them to put up some big numbers. Never hit that rhythm that we thought they were going to hit. I think this is a better team for a lot of reasons. Number one, Steven Montez is in his third year in the offense now. Steven Montez has had time to adapt, to learn, had a great offseason under Kurt Roper, and I think a much more mature player all around. So I like the quarterback position much better than I did a year ago. I like the wide receivers better than last year's, because there's 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that are capable of playing for this team. And I tell you what, none of them have taken a day off. There's not a receiver out there that has taken a day off and has said, I don't have to show my best today. So I love that part of it. I love the chemistry on the offensive line. I really do. I think that offensive line is going to play. It's going to be greater than the sum of the parts. I think it's going to be one of those things. And, yes, they lost Philip Lindsay, and that's going to be a big hole to fill. But I do like the fact, they've got 5 guys back there that are getting some snaps. I think this running game can still be a very competent running game and be a very effective running game. So, overall, I like this offense much better.
Defensively, will it be better than last year?
Oh, I hope so.
That's kind of an easy question to answer, because they went from the 2016 defense, which was one of the better defenses in the country, to having their issues a year ago. And listen, there's a lot of reasons that happened. You had change in coaches. That changes things. You lost a lot of NFL guys. Guys had to step up. So, but I think as you look at this thing, so you got DJ and his staff in year number 2. There's an understanding what he's all about, what the system's all about, obviously, even though it's similar to what they're doing in 2016. And then if you look, you were referencing the depth on this team. I think that's an unknown for a lot of fans out there, how deep this team is. And I think people are going to be surprised by that.
I think they're really going to be surprised. And I think when you talk about DJ Elliott, since he got here, he has talked about trying to get playmakers in position to make plays. That's been his mantra. First year on the job, all these new starters, they lost 8 guys to that at least got NFL contracts a year ago. And so they lost a bunch of guys. He's learning everybody. I think he's much more comfortable with what all these guys are doing. And if you look at all the things he's done with that, moving Drew Lewis to inside and outside linebacker. They added Davion Taylor, another, playmaker at outside linebacker, buff back. Evan Worthington is a year older. He's going to be a full-time safety. So they're getting guys in position that can make plays. They've got young guys, too. Again, Davion Taylor, no, Buff fans haven't seen him. I think they're going to like him when they see what he can do on Saturday. So I like this team. I think there's more depth on the defensive line. I think there's better players there. They're older, the guys that came back from last year. So I like this defense a lot better. I think this defense has a chance to be a little bit of a surprise to people.
I wonder about, and I wonder only because we don't know at this point, because you're talking about Davion Taylor, newcomer there. Lewis playing on the outside, newcomer there. Nate Landman becoming a consistent linebacking presence out there. Newness with Mustafa Johnson and Israel Antoine and Terrence Lang, guys like that front. This team, if they're going to be, I think, an upper-level defensive team, they've got to put more pressure on the quarterback, obviously, than they did a year ago. I do think they're playmakers in the back end, but pressure up front is going to help them. In your assessment, can this team get more pressure on opposing quarterbacks, record more sacks this season?
Yeah, I think they can for two reasons. One, I think they're going to get a little bit better pressure from the middle. I think they're going to push the pocket a little bit better. I think Javi Edwards has a little more stamina this year, added some strength. I like Chris Malumba coming back. He's learned the game a little bit better. Mustafa Johnson is a guy that has shown that he can get in and push the pocket, as can Israel Antoine. The thing I really like is the speed they've added on the outside. Davion Taylor coming off the edge, Drew Lewis coming off the edge, Nuamato Fallo has played well at outside linebacker, Carson Wells, Jacob Collier, slimmed down, added some speed, and he's also stronger. So that's where that pass rush has got to come from. If you're looking back and you remember a guy, Jimmy Gilbert, that had 11, 12 sacks for him 2 years ago, that's they need that from their outside linebacker position. I think they're going to get some of that this year. So, yeah, I think the pass rush is better.
Flip back over to the offensive side, quarterback. You and I were talking on Thursday out of practice, kind of watching Steve Amontez. Obviously, it's his job to be the starter for this team. Sam Neuer is closing that gap. I'm not saying he's pushing Steven out, but Sam's playing some pretty good football right now. And in this game, in this league, we've seen it the last couple of years. Two guys are going to play, ultimately, because that's just the way the game is, and guys are going to get dinged up a little bit. I feel better about the quarterback position going into this season, well, than I have in quite some time. Because even when Sefa was here, at that point in time, Steven was an unknown. We didn't know what he was. We didn't know how talented the guy was. I feel good about that position because we've seen maturation with Steven, and Sam Neuer's pushing him.
Yeah, no, and the thing about Sam is he's had a really good camp, taking big strides since spring ball, very comfortable in the offense, and that's a testament to Kurt Roper, who's had a big influence as the quarterback's coach on all those guys. The thing that Sam has done is he has put some pressure on Steven, and he's put enough pressure on Steven that Steven knows he has to be performing at a high level every day. So I think you've seen both those guys have very good camps. Steven, who has had a tendency to throw some picks in years past, has really been good in that regard this year. Sam has been good in that regard. So I think he is not only upped his level of play considerably, he's upped Steven Montez's level of play. So, yeah, I feel good about the quarterback situation here. Sam is going to be a player. So I think that's been good.
The running back position, you touched on it briefly a moment ago. I like what I've seen from Trayvon McMillan. Kyle Evans is just a great story. And I think you and I are both – waving the pom-poms for him because it's, what he's overcome to get back to this point. So you've got him out there, Alex Fontenot. Last year showed us flashes. Bo Bicherot has always been solid there. Yes, there's no, Tasmanian Devil, Philip Lindsay, that dynamic personality that he had back there. But, boy, there's some depth there and guys that I think can be effective as long as that line's blocking.
Yeah, I like what I've seen from Trayvon McMillan. Guy that can run inside, can go outside, catches the ball well coming out of the backfield. Is probably, from what I've seen, not as good as pass protection as Philip Lindsay was, but then not many running backs were. Philip Lindsay loved to tangle with linebackers. He actually looked forward to that and was very good at it. Kyle Evans offers you that change of pace. Smaller guy that can hit the hole in a big hurry. Bo Bicherat, I love it when they go to a two-back set because Bo Bicherat's a guy that can carry the ball, can also be a lead blocker. Bo is a little faster and a little shiftier than people give him credit for. He's not just a big back. I think he can do a lot of things back there, offer them some stuff. So a lot of potential back there. I don't think you're going to see a 1,400-yard guy, but I think I honestly think they'll probably have, their yards per rush will be better than it was a year ago.
Okay, I'm going to throw you a curveball right now. As we look into this, Neil's never been able to hit the curve, so this ought to be an easy strike for me. Who's an unsung hero? Here we sit, 2.5, 3 weeks into camp. Who's an unsung hero you think by the end of the season people are going to say, boy, that guy was pretty good. I never expected it.
Give me one of the tight ends. I don't know which one. You know, give me a tight end. Give me Chris Bounds. Give me Brady Russell. Jared Popovsky's hurt, but give me Darion Jones. Give me one of those guys that you're going to, you know, tight ends have not had big numbers over the last couple of years. But I think those are guys that, and again, they may not have big numbers again this year, but I like what they're doing with tight ends. They block really well. They're going to do a lot of things that I think at the end of the season, the astute football fan is going to look at this team and go, wow, those guys pitched in and made a difference. And so those are the kind of guys that I'm looking for to make a difference.
I'm going to steal only half your thunder. Because Brady Russell is like, you know, what did Mike McIntyre say about Jace Franke? He's a Swiss Army knife. I think Brady Russell might be that guy in the offensive side and in special teams and all these different areas. Matt Russell's nephew, the longer camp goes on, I don't know exactly what he is. I know he's got just glorious flowing locks when he runs down the field. But that guy, I think, is going to make a big impact in his football team.
Well, what he is a football player. That's just what he is. I mean, he is an old-time football player. I mean, he's learning how to long snap in case they need a third-team long snapper. He's playing tight end. And when he catches the ball, he has great hands. He catches the ball in traffic as well as anybody on that team. He's a big 250-pound guy. And the thing about it is when he catches that ball, he looks around for somebody who's in his way. And I love watching that. And he has caught a couple of CU's linebackers by surprise this year, because they thought they were gonna pop him when he caught the ball, and he was the one standing at the end. So I just like Brady. He's got a great attitude. He's one of those guys that just loves the game. And he's a guy that I think at the season's end, people are gonna look back and go, wow, you know, he did a lot of little things that made a big difference.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who's gonna make his Uncle Matt proud, no doubt about that. He was a Butkus Award winner. All right, tonight. Under the light scrimmage at Folsom Field. Again, we repeat, not open to the public, so it's closed. They'll begin practice about 6 o'clock. Scrimmage starts at about 7. What are you hoping to see tonight?
Separation. I want to see some guys, you know, seize the opportunity they have, become starters. There's still a lot of positions. Cornerback, I mean, there are Shadon Brown and Ashley Ambrose both said earlier this week, there are 5 guys that are still fighting for 2 spots. So let's see one or two of those guys step up and grab that position. Let's see the left side of the offensive line where Will Sherman, Jake Moretti, Josh Kaiser, Brett Tons are all kind of moving around in there. See those guys grab a hold there. Wide receiver. Who are your starting wide receivers? Want to see some of those guys jump up and grab it. So a lot of positions open and want to see some separation.
That corner position is kind of interesting to me. It's, you know, you think back the last couple of years, there was not a lot of, I don't know if competition is the right word, a lot of debate about who was going to be out there. I mean, it was Akello and it was Cheeto and Isaiah was going to be in the mix there and those guys. And even the safeties, all the guys that have gone to the NFL, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, mystery or drama going in. That position is kind of interesting this year. I think, you can disagree with me one, I think Trey Udofe's got one, and I'm kind of wondering if Delrick Abrams isn't elevating himself on the other side, and that's just me writing it down a pencil right now.
No, I think you're right. Every day you watch Delrick Abrams, and he makes plays. He makes plays. Now, a guy that had a really good practice just today, Thursday, and the day before, Dante Wigley all of a sudden came up, made some really nice plays on some long balls. So I think that's a position that's wide open right now. I think they want to see Chris Miller. Chris Miller is a guy that got dinged up a little bit, didn't play in the last scrimmage, should be ready to go for this one. So I think they want to see 2 guys who are consistent covering routes, being able to go deep and run with those receivers. And so, it's going to be very interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Real quick here, wrapping up the football conversation on Thursday, did a little television stand-up with Mark Wetmore that's going to be popping out, I think, on Friday. So today, as this is coming out, on social media, just looking at the season, they had their first practice on Wednesday, on August 31st. They've got their first event. That's the Wyoming Invitational. We'll be running that, in fact, not in Laramie, but in Cheyenne. You and I both think the world of him. I'm fascinated by Mark Wetmore. I love what he said during the media day festivities. He said, we got 4/5 of a men's team and a pretty good women's team. But it's fun for you and I, as close as we are to program, to sit back and just watch him. I mean, he's a He's a mad scientist with that, the way he approaches it and the way he manipulates that thing. And it is genius to watch, isn't it?
There is no better coach in America when it comes to coaching long-distance people. Mark Wetmore is, you know, to me, inarguably the best long-distance coach in America. And you look and see what he does with the, you know, Olympians, Jenny Simpson, Emma Coburn, people like that. But what Mark does with his runners every year, I mean, the best line from him at Media Day to me was, you know, we finished eighth in the nation last year, and obviously we're very disappointed with that. How many coaches, just please tell me, how many coaches out there look at you in the eye and say, we finished eighth in the nation out of 335 teams. We finished eighth in the nation, and yes, we're very disappointed with that. The guys were very disappointed, and we don't want that to happen again.
Well, you know what's funny about that is that every sport talks about winning a championship. He actually means it. I mean, when they start the year, the goal is to win the national championship. If not, we've got some work to do.
Yes, exactly. That's the way he deals with things. I mean, he honestly starts every year with, how do we win a national championship? It's not win the Pac-12 or win the regional. No. You know, it is, how do we win a national championship? Now, he hasn't done it for a few years. I think it's been 3 years since they won one. So he's getting a little antsy, getting a little anxious. The women's team certainly has a ton of potential this year. Dandy Jones, one of the best runners in America, coming back. And not saying they're going to win one, but that's what Mark's goal is. Mark doesn't, you know, when you talk about winning a national championship, and again, I just laughed, and the more I've thought about it, it's like, you know, we finished eighth, and we're really disappointed with that. So I want that to be my mantra. I'm only the eighth best in the nation. I'm disappointed.
You better go back and look at the rankings. before we wrap up here, you know, there's a lot of excitement with football. We talk about cross country, and also this weekend, soccer's got its home opener. As we are talking right now, it's yet before the soccer opener, which is Thursday night. This is coming out on Friday. We don't know what the result of that is, obviously. They've got their home opener on Sunday at Printup at 3:30 against Colorado State, and volleyball at 3 o'clock on Saturday's got their black and gold scrimmage. And there's a lot of anticipation about around both those programs as well.
Two top 25 teams. I mean, Danny Sanchez's soccer team should be one of the best, you know, could be one of the best top 16 type of team in the nation. Jesse Mahoney's volleyball team picked, I think, fifth in the Pac-12. Now everybody goes, only fifth in the Pac-12. Well, you know, I think they had both teams in the NCAA championships last year, and obviously won the NCAA title the year before. So just to be in the mention among the best in the Pac-12 means you're among the best in the nation. Two really quality programs.
Looking forward to it. He's Neil Welk of CUBus.com. Check out his stuff, as always, on the website. And, of course, we'll have a great coverage following the scrimmage coming up later tonight. We'll do some interviews, which you'll see on the social media. Neil will have some stuff on CUBus.com as well. I'm Voice of the Bus, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.